Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
How's it going?
What's up, man? Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's your name?
I go by Catagice.
All right. Hey, where are you from?
I'm from Spokane, Washington.
Okay. And as an artist, would you say that you are humble?
Yeah, of course. I like to talk about other topics, but I like to have fun too.
Could you give me an example?
Yeah, give me some. Let's see what we can do.
Okay.
I'm like an assassin with this passion. I'm smashing every distraction. I'm cutting this beat in half like a fraction. Caption this backspin. Every lyric gets you like an allergic reaction. I'm trying to be a legend like Lennon. Can you imagine? They're telling me to preach. I'll speak like Martin Luther. Everything I do is sick. Watch me maneuver through rumors. And then I'll super kick a lunatic if he's talking manure. I'm just trying to make disciples like I'm Larry Hoover. So how do I obtain motivation? Sustain and entertain the new and older generation. I got it. I will just exchange money and pay for liberation. And instead of the money, the guns, drugs, and fornication, I'll give inspiration. I know God has got my back, so I don't have to be nervous. I'll just purchase an urban surface that's worthless for Sunday service. And pray that they have a purpose for people who think they're worthless. Being tempted by the serpents, being pushed towards the furnaces.
Let us all unite!
We saved the earth from a terrible experience. A fine, upstanding American boy.
Man, that boy, Catagice, he's going so hard, just like a boulder. And he prays to God that boy's a soldier. Check his composure and your exposure. Because he's making it stumble like a sick crossover. It's over, you're over. Cause everything is intellectual, technical, with professionals. And elite more antioxidants than most fruits and vegetables. The government is over criminals. They're the ones doing the crimes, taking away our human rights while I'm screaming. No pipeline, the streets release motion. A sweet disease potion, this preconceived notion will leave these bees broken. Enemies will retreat when I'm keeping the heat smoking. No guns, just verses, I'm keeping them seeds choking. All you do is sit, get it past and hit it like a grand slam. But it's been frequently frequency so I can let the death jam. Rappers the paper thin, squeezing the flavor in their vapor pen. Give me 100 whack MCs, I'll wilt them like I'm Chamberlain.
I'm a creative genius.
Uncontrolled, unpredictable, and unabated. The most important topic will never start a war.
You ain't heard nothing yet.
Said you better be talking my name when you enter Spokane's conversation. Somebody better call JG cause I'm about to rock nations. My rhymes align spines and redesign minds. And at the drop of a dime they can redefine time. With motion and gravity I study hip hop's anatomy. This musical academy is tactically attached to me. Practically everything I've been doing has come naturally. I'm Picasso inside of the gallery cause I am a masterpiece. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a genuine specimen. But I'll turn your skeleton inside your leatherman to gelatin. I know I'm just a rookie but I hope to be a veteran. And I know I'm new like Orleans, but I'm flyer than that pelican. My mental capacity uses calculus calculators to calculate strategies to maneuver through tragedies. I need you to listen and pay attention to details. What's the difference between the beach and the street? Nothing, you see shells.
Good morning on your morning cup of sports right here on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRC Army. I am B. Evans. With me is my good buddy Farmer. What is up, man?
What's going on, B? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good. I'm still awake, surprisingly. It was a short night for me last night, so I'm not too tired today. And a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. Real quick, I just want to let y'all know, if you like that track, that's called Something New by our guy Catechi, straight out of Spokane, Washington. And he is up and coming.
Right.
He's young.
Out of the 509er, baby.
Very, very talented. Make sure y'all check him out on Facebook. Make sure you guys check him out on YouTube. Give him a like, listen to his music, follow him, check out all his new stuff coming out. They are kicking ass in their music, dude. You see, they got crazy amount of views and stuff, jumping up quick. Add more to the list every single day.
Man, Catechize is the bomb. You know, repping the 509, repping the Spokane. You know, definitely, you know, when you find them, you like them, tell them Farmer and B sent you. And, yeah.
sorry, I didn't know you were stopping there.
Neither did I, but hey, you know, I'm always full of surprises for you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You never know what's going to come out of your mouth.
Well, yeah,
or
especially
never mind. I'll leave it alone.
Oh, you better put your gas mask on, bro. Sorry.
Censorship.
I apologize.
Censorship.
Abandoned ship.
I apologize.
I apologize. I'm sorry. The studio just smells 10 times better now.
Woohoo! That's disgusting.
Well, so are you, but I don't bitch. It's a tough world, you know?
I can't deal with you. I can't deal with you.
What is there not to deal with, bro? I'm happy. I'm good looking. I show up on time. I'm here, right? What more does Radio AFS want from me?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I know, right?
That is a good question. I mean,
you know, if you don't like me, take it up with upper management and tell them. And see how far that gets you, buddy. See how far that gets you.
Well, oh man, I can't deal with you right now. You're nope. I can't do it. I won't do it. I can't deal with
you.
Yes,
you will. You got an hour with me.
Oh man, so I can't deal with you like the Chargers can't deal with their equipment manager anymore.
Oh, are you gonna fire me? Because if you're going to fire me, I'm going to hang up, and then you got the show all by yourself on this Friday.
Well, you know, it was the second show, I think. What was it, second or third show, and you didn't show up, so I took care of that. I can handle it. I can handle it. Don't hang
is
up,
that
though.
How this is going to be? Is this how this is going to be today on this Friday?
Got to love it. All hey,
right,
it's a crazy Friday.
Right.
Man, all also.
Right, all right, I feel you.
Kind of sad.
You.
I walked into work late last night. You know, I
you
took a well. No, I walked into the shop. I didn't drive into the shop.
Okay.
Otherwise, they'd be pissed right now.
Right.
But
you know.
I got there. Right, showed up late. Took a half day. You know, so I showed up halfway through the night. And there's a big
day,
sign
right?
on the there's a sign on the wall that says mandatory overtime, full production. I'm like, great, another weekend. I gotta work. My kids are going to be upset. Oh, well. They understand. So, anyway.
Christmas is around the corner, bro.
That's what I'm saying. So, anyways. The the Chargers, who recently moved from San Diego to Los Angeles, their equipment manager, Bob Wick, chose to go along with.
What's his name?
Bob Wick.
Oh, I thought you said butt with. I'm like, well, you know, butt with, bye-bye.
After 38 years with the franchise in San Diego, they have chosen to move on without him. They have released him. Bob Wick joined the team as a ball boy and equipment manager in 1979, became assistant equipment manager in 83, was named equipment manager 17 years later.
Yeah.
That's
congratulations, Buttworth. I mean Whitworth or Dick. I don't remember your name.
Bob Wick.
I want to call you Buttworth. Buttworth sounds so much better. Buttworth.
Bob Wick.
Sorry. Buttworth.
So now.
Okay. It's all good, man.
All right. So
I told you I'm on one today.
Now. I see that, which is also why I'm going to be bringing this up. Okay, so NFL owner says he absolutely supports signing Colin Kaepernick. Now, before you say anything, I'm bringing this up for one thing, and I want your input on this. All right, so the Jacksonville Jaguars, they are needy in the quarterback position.
Hold on right there.
Stopping.
They're an NFL team? They're an NFL team?
Yeah, I know. We don't hear from them too much, okay. Do we? Yep, they're
right.
There.
Carry on.
So they're in need of a quarterback. Other, you know, any other team of, you know, but same as any other team in the league, they need a quarterback. Well, Jackson, the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, so he's okay with signing Kaepernick. But and when he was asked about, you know, if he would sign Kaepernick, if that's what, you know, the football people would want, he said absolutely. However, football people really don't seem to want Kaepernick in the league at all on any team, which I don't really understand. To a point, I don't understand, because how is it okay to boycott Kaepernick but not the rest of the league and all the players that are in the league that are taking the knee, you know? So that's the one thing that confuses me, is why one, the other. So now, hold on. Now, Kaepernick probably not going to be heading the Jaguars, though, even if the owner would be okay with it, because of all the issues that he has and all the problem it's causing. But some people are speculating and talking that Roger Goodell could be forced to help Colin Kaepernick get a job after the 1,000-plus people protested in the NFL's office, and it's continuing to grow. Now, with that part of it, that's what I was interested in wanting your input on, is do you think that he would actually be – he could be forced to help sign Kaepernick to a team?
Nope. He is only the commissioner. He cannot mandate a owner, a team, or anything else like that to sign a particular player. So good luck with your little protest. Good luck with your just wanting to be snowflakes. Good luck with, you know, having your tampon turned up sideways up your asshole. You know, Colin Kaepernick, he had the opportunity to stay in the league, right? 100% the opportunity to stay in the league. But the jabroni decided to opt out of his contract as a San Francisco 49er because he said that he wanted to go out and do social justice stuff. Okay? Social justice stuff. Now, when teams were in need of a quarterback, you know, that's when this dude's name came back up and surfaced. Now, Sean McCoy, Dirty McCoy, of the Buffalo Bills, said it terrifically in this video clip. And the video clip I'm going to summarize. He is, or people don't want, a subpar quarterback. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. I'm using farmer lingo, not Dirty McCoy's lingo. He also compared Colin Kaepernick to Michael Vick. Now, I don't know if I would go that far of a stretch to say Colin Kaepernick is like a Michael Vick. Michael Vick, you know, committed a federal crime. Michael Vick did, you know, dog fighting, money, you know, supposedly. Now, he did do some jail time for it. So for people that are trying to compare Colin Kaepernick to Michael Vick, or to, you know, we'll just use Michael Vick, is completely off kilter. There's something wrong in the dome. Now, Colin Kaepernick didn't do anything illegal. Colin Kaepernick exercised his freedom of speech. Now, did he do it on the right platform? According to Colin Kaepernick, he felt that this was the best platform to get his cause into gear by taking a knee in front of millions of people. And do I support his right to take a knee? Of course I do. That's called freedom of speech, ladies and gentlemen. That's called the First Amendment. But now, whether people like him or whether people don't like him, that's on them. And my stance on Colin Kaepernick is if people don't want to sign him, it's not because of his stance against the national anthem. It's the lack of productivity the past 2 years as a San Francisco 49er quarterback beat. That is probably completely not the answer or the question or anything that you thought you were going to hear.
Well, no, I mean, I knew I was going to get a good answer from you, a logical answer. You know, what you said makes sense, and I agree. Now, I did get into a debate with somebody yesterday about this whole situation, and when they bring up that they brought up the whole Kaepernick being blackballed and everything like that, and of course I argued it because Kaepernick's not being blackballed for his stance. It's we know that, like you just said, it's not got anything to do with that. I think it's got everything to do with, you know, he fell off. Yes, he was looking great. He was looking very promising, but he fell off, you know, and we watched the demise. We watched him just, he didn't even slowly go downhill. He went faster downhill than the cheese rollers over in whatever country, in Norway or whatever. I mean, he literally just plummeted. So he's inconsistent. So even if he had decent stats for his last 2 years, it does, his plummet shows a major inconsistency. Okay, yeah, he did great under the Harbaugh era, but Harbaugh's not around no more. So how's that going to show that he can hold up with any other coach or any other team? You know, it's inconsistent. As soon as Harbaugh was gone, Kaepernick fell off. I mean, that says it all for him right there. It's sad, because I think that he has great potential, but there's no consistency.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And then, you know, people are going to be like, oh, but he was so good with Harbaugh. He was, you know, the next coming of Muhammad or whatever, and everything else like that. So I don't know, man. I am so sick and tired of hearing about this dude. That, you know, when somebody comes up to me and says, what do you think of Kaepernick? I'm like, I don't know. He doesn't play for my team, so I could give two flying rats asses.
Right.
You know? And
that's the one thing that drives me
people,
crazy.
Yeah, you know, and people were like, what do you mean? I'm like, here, let me, I'm gonna talk normal English for you now, even though the first time you didn't hear it. I don't care. He isn't a San Francisco 49er. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth?
Well, and that's what gets me is, I mean, I know that, yes, I know that the team he played for in the league was the San Francisco 49ers. But what gets me is that they affiliate everything about Colin Kaepernick to San Francisco. And I'm sorry, but we got much more important shit on our to-do list and everything with the 49ers organization than just worrying about Colin Kaepernick. Yes, I like to talk about him a lot. And yes, you give me a lot of shit about it. But I like I love controversy, and I love talking about it because there's so many different angles that you can look at it from. So, yeah, but in the same aspect, I mean, there is. I hate the fact that when you mention the 49ers anymore, unless you are a diehard Niner fan, everything is all about Kaepernick, and it's not. That's not even close to what – I mean, the situation, hell, nobody saw Anquan Boldin being retired now, and he was a Niner. We ain't talking about him, you know. I mean, it's just frustrating.
Well, right. You know, we, and I say we to the ladies and gentlemen that don't know. I'm a diehard Niner fan, and B. Evans is a diehard Niner fan. So when I say we, I'm talking him and I, and not talking about the listening body of our team, because I, you know, of our show, because I know we got some Squealer fans. I know we got some Donko fans out there. I know we probably got some Cowgirl fans out there, and,
and we definitely got some Redskins fan out there, and we probably got some V Queen fans out there, and everything else like that. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. In my eyes, I believe that if Colin Kaepernick was a San Francisco 49er, he would maybe be second string. He wouldn't even make first string. And that's my 100% opinion. And then people would be like, oh, the injustice. Oh, the injustice, God, he should be first string. He needs to be out there on the football field. I'm going to cry and poop in my defense and pee in my defense and make somebody else wipe me. He's a starting quarterback, Mom, and I don't know why he isn't playing. irregardless of where Kaepernick lands or if he lands anywhere, you're going to hear the same whiny-ass little babies that I just imitated.
Well, that, and also, but you forgot Mom, you forgot something, Farmer. You forgot something. If he's not playing as a starter, then that automatically labels us as a racist because he's not a starter.
Right.
Just wanted to throw it there. Hey, real quick, though, we did have a couple preseason games last night. Did you want to know how we fared?
Sure. What the heck? I wasn't quite done with my snowflake impersonation, but by all means, go ahead.
So let's see, Dolphins and Eagles. You had the Eagles by 10. I took the Eagles by 7. Final score, Eagles 38, Dolphins 31. I win. Now, then we had – wasn't so great for the next one. Panthers and the Jaguars. You had the Panthers by 14. I had the Panthers by 21. Panthers beat the Jaguars
24-23. Yay!
So – we're 1-1 so far. I had to get those out of the way before I forgot about them.
Right.
But the Jaguars.
So hold on. This week, I'm 3-for-1, baby. Or 2-for-1.
No, it doesn't count. The first one doesn't count because we didn't have the list out.
Oh, bull poop! It's still this week. Don't pull an Anthony Paso on me. I won't play anymore. I will take my toys and go home.
So,
I will poop and pee in my pants and make somebody clean it up because I'm a snowflake.
So you watched some of this unfold. What'd you think about the fights that broke out in the Yankees game?
Well, you know, I just watched the last one with Miguel Cabrera and the catcher from the Yankees. I would love to know what was said to get Miguel Cabrera to, you know, throw hands. And it was definitely a nice takedown by the Yankee catcher. And then, you know, the ground and pound right there on the ribs, that was good, man. I was like, wow. This is going to be better than the fight than Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. And I didn't even have to pay for this one.
It was
I'm going to mimic the catcher here for a minute. Hey, Sally Susie, you're swinging like a girl.
What? Yeah. Put your hips into it like I did in your ex-wife.
What? Crunch! You know, it's just how I see it. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on it today. I got to be in a chipper mood today. I don't have to be, but, you know, today, whatever today is, the 25th of August, get on a serious note here, B. Today is the day that they lay my good friend Bob Sipe down to rest. So, how do I go from a catcher telling a batter that he put his hips into his wife to Bob Sipe? Because Bob Sipe had
an awesome sense of humor, and that's where exactly he would want me to come in and say his memorial services today. They are laying Mr. Bob Sipe down to rest today. So rest in peace, Mr. Bob, and I'm sure the other listeners are sick and tired of me bringing him up today, but today's going to be hard for me, for Farmer, because Fridays were the days after the show, of course, I would call Bob, and he was an avid listener to the Morning Cup of Sports and a couple other of the shows here on the network. And, you know, he would call me generally right after the Morning Cup of Sports, and he was just laughing and busting a gut and everything else like that. So today after the show is going to hit me really hard, because my phone ain't going to ring and have the big gentle giant criticizing me or telling me it was an awesome show. And then at about 11 o'clock today is the service for Mr. Bob Sipes. So it's going to be it's a happy Friday, but it's also a very sad Friday also.
Well, man, once again, like I said, you can never say it enough, and it'll never mean as much as it should mean or could mean, but definitely my condolences, you know, from me and my family to yours. It's a sad day. I never even met the guy, but you've talked about him quite a few different times, and I'm like, dude, this guy sounds awesome, you know. So definitely wish I'd been able to meet him, but yes, my condolences to you. And today, I know it's going to be a rough day, but you know, if you need me, you can call me.
Oh, phone a friend. Perfect. You know, I think we should dedicate the latter half of this show to Bob's Big Ben Bowl in Ritzville, Washington. And somewhere on the board there should be a advertising promo for Bob's Big Ben Bowl. So I think the last segment, the last half hour of our show should be dedicated to Bob and Bob's Big Ben Bowl. So let me know when you find that advertisement, and let's play it for Bob. And this is the last half of this show, Bob. I know you're upstairs heaven listening to me. You want to get all the other dead people up there to also tune in so our numbers get a little bit higher. Please and thank you. You know, so this last segment of your Morning Cup of Sports is for Bob Sipe of Bob's Big Ben Bowl.
Bob's Big Ben Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Ben Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Ben Bowling.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, with the passing of Bob, of Bob's Big Ben Bowl, yes, the bowling alley is still open for business. What is the best way to pay your respects to the gentle giant? Go there, have a beer in the bar, or just grab a ball and go bowling, because what was one of Bob's big passions? Bowling and seeing friends and family with a big, huge smile on their face. So again, come to Bob's Big Ben Bowl in Ritzville, Washington, and give your condolences by bowling a couple frames and having a few beers in Bob's name.
You know, I gotta say, I'm kind of jealous of Bob. I've always wondered what it'd be like to own my own bowling alley. That'd always be pretty cool. I've never been great at it, but just to have it to where you can bowl whenever you want, that'd be pretty awesome.
Oh, you know, most definitely, you know, and Bob kind of took me under his wing, so I can say that I helped ran his bowling alley. And it was fun, man, you know, getting back there in the dinosaur, you know, people wonder how pins drop down and everything else like that, man. It's a trip. And, you know, Bob knew how to work on those machines. They were dinosaurs. They were made in the 80s.
but they ran better than any machine, any I should say, any brand new machine out there.
Nice. See, and that's always good too. I mean, I've been to the bowling alleys here in town. There's been times where you've had to sit and wait and wait and wait for the ball return, and then you got to wait, and then there's been times where they comes down, the thing comes down to pick up the pins and it knocks half of them over, and you're just like, really?
Yeah.
Like, does that count towards my score?
Right?
But dude, Denver,
yeah.
Colorado, East High.
Are we really going to talk about the Donkos again? We've already given the Donkos enough press here.
I want to talk about this high school, the major issue with this high school.
All right.
Because I'm just saying, as a parent, you and I both,
as a parent, right?
I would really feel bad for this school if it was somebody that I know. Now, I don't know how much of the story you read up on it, but did you? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, right? The cheerleaders?
Right. Yeah.
So, for those of you who are unaware of this story, the Denver Police are actually investigating incidents involving multiple cheerleaders and the cheer coach at the high school. They have the cheer coach, the assistant cheer coach, the high school principal, assistant principal. All of them have been placed on leave. Oh, the Denver Public Schools deputy general council member has been all placed on leave as well. During the first week of cheer camp, an incoming freshman was surrounded by new teammates, and they have been forcing these new members of the team into an extended split position. There's actually video that shows them being held with their arms held up by other teammates, and then the coaches with their hands on their shoulders and stuff pushing them down into the position. Now, Allie Wakefield, one of the students, one of the incoming freshmen this year, actually cried out to her coach 9 times in less than 24 seconds to please stop. And you can see the coach holding this girl down on her shoulders, pushing her down and holding her. Got them into the position, and they were in so much pain they were unable to move from that position. Now, I'm sorry, but no athletic sport, nothing athletic in the world deserves to be treated like that just to get them ready. Practice makes perfect. Fine. Keep stretching. You know, it'll happen. There is no reason you need to force these girls down into a position just so that you can look better on your first meet.
You know, B, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's a shame for what happened at the Denver Public Schools. It just kind of makes you wonder how long that this has been happening for these particular girls. You know, I generally read, you know, a little bit and watch the video a little bit, and I'm like, I don't need to see this garbage. But then I go into the comment section. God, I love to comment on stuff like these. So I went into the comment section and I started reading the comments, and you know, everybody wants to make things race. I just don't get the race baiting. And I'm not advocating this or anything else like that. And the only reason why I'm bringing it up is I thought it was funny. Not the, you know, the whole, you know, hurting of a girl or a man if it was a boy that was trying to do the splits and couldn't. But they were like, well, what if it was a black girl and three girls were, white girls were holding her down? We wouldn't hear the end of it for Black Lives Matter and NIFTA or NAFTA or NUFTA or NIFTY or whatever they're called.
NIFTY.
You know, I mean, NIFTY. You know, and that type of thing. And I'm like, why – Why do people got to bring up race on something like this? It's redonkulous, and it's definitely something that needs to be investigated. And I don't know why they suspended the principal. That is one thing that I didn't understand. Yes, the principal is in charge of the school, but you know, I just don't understand the suspension of the principal of the school. Yes, maybe the athletic director and definitely the coach definitely needs to be on administrative leave, non-paid, of course, but not so much the principal, unless the principal was there.
I'm shocked, man. Like, I am, but I'm not. Like, it's gotten to the point where you almost expect this type of stuff anymore. With as crazy as everybody's gotten and everything is getting and has already become, you almost expect to see stuff like this. It's like, oh, really? Well, that ain't that bad compared to what I seen the other day. You know what I mean? It's getting ridiculous.
Right.
And you're putting kids, I mean, obviously, these riots and these protests that have gotten out of control are, you know, hurting each other and hurting people, and it can ultimately affect kids' lives as well, or future kids. If you see the video where the guy got shot in the nuts by a tear gas canister, but I don't know, man. Just when you're bringing kids into the mix, I mean, it's gotten to a whole new level of stupid. And I'm just glad it's not. I wish that it had not happened ever, but I'm really glad it didn't happen here, because my daughter is actually wanting to start her own cheerleading thing. She's wanting to start up in cheerleading and everything. And I promise you, if I was to hear about something like this, there's not going to be a school board issue, because I'm going to be in jail for beating the shit out of this coach.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are not advocating violence. Right?
I thought you were still going. That's why I didn't say nothing.
We are not advocating violence.
No, we are not.
Violence is not the way.
Violence is not the way. Woosah.
There it is. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Brian, and I have an issue. I have anger problems. Anger management.
Right.
So, all right.
Faba.
So, I want to jump off of this, because I was going to talk about this yesterday and we didn't have time. So hopefully he's listening, right, so we can get his take on this, because this is the Pittsburgh Steelers now. By choosing one of the latest dates possible to show up and claim his full $12.1 million franchise tender, and making it known 10 days early that it's coming, running back Mr. Le'Veon Bell has doubled up his dares to the Pittsburgh Steelers. First, by removing the uncertainty as to when he will arrive and selecting the day after the preseason ends to do so, Bell is also daring the team to rescind his 2017 franchise tender. Even though they'll have only 9 days to get ready for the regular season opener, I don't see it. It'd be shocking, dude, for the Steelers to actually throw him into the open market at this point. Second, by ultimately staying away for all of the offseason program, training camp, and preseason, he is daring the Steelers to tag him again in the 2018 at $14.56 million for next year. Why would they invest so much money into a guy who's made it clear that if the Steelers exercise their right to tag him, Mr. Bell will exercise his right to do it all over again?
Cut him. Bye-bye, Le'Veon.
Oh, and with that being said, guess what, Farmer?
Trucker. Come on, you mother trucker.
All right.
Good morning. Good. From fabulous Atlanta,
Good morning,
Georgia.
Mother trucker. How you doing?
Hey, it's at, hold on, he said Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, do me a favor. While you're down there, why don't you swing to the Falcon Stadium, because it is Friday, and ask them how they're going to serve Chick-fil-A on a Sunday game.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you're not supposed to have a big truck in the circle unless you're doing a delivery. Now, I am
inside the circle.
You're
doing a delivery. You're making a deposit.
Yeah. Well, there is that, and maybe you haven't noticed that they really aren't really trucker-friendly at these ballparks. Yet, they do have trucks there, but it's only when they want them there.
So what you do, and what you do is you take some toilet paper, you put it in your truck, and then you walk up it in hand so you can make your delivery. And when they ask what you're doing, say, this is for the all the bullshit that you guys are feeding us by having Chick-fil-A in the stadium when we can't buy it during the game.
Yeah. Well, that thought had crossed my mind.
You know, and then what you could do is you could drop off your trailer at a local truck stop, and you could go bobtail it in there, and then there's lots of room for you, JJ.
Yeah, they most of the truck stops close. They don't put up with that, because a few years ago, a division of the Homeland Defense came up with this thing called Highway Watch. And they're thinking that there's going to be a pretty good-sized terrorist attack using a big truck. So, yeah, they're larger cities. They're not going to have trailers unattended for very long. They'll start towing them. And my boss's sense of humor is not that great to begin with. And this really would not help that situation at all.
All right.
But
so,
I was thinking,
JJ, I'm sure you were listening to Mr. B. Evans talking a little trash about your Pittsburgh Squealers. So we want your take on Mr. Le'Veon Bell in his shenanigans that he's pulling on with your organization.
Well, I believe it was Touchy Oaken that mentioned it a while back.
Touchy who Oakens? Who's touching my Oakens today?
Well,
I need a name because no touchy. No touchy of my Elkins without me knowing your name.
Well, you better keep a good eye on your Elkins. If Touch wants to touch your Elkins, there's probably not a whole much. Remember, he's still a big boy. But where I was going with this, before we got on sidetrack, is that
Left field fire.
Things years back, and, you know, he came to there at the end of camp in what you call good physical shape, but not football shape. So the general consensus, that's where Le'Veon Bell is going to be doing. He'll come to, when he does show up, in good shape, but not good football shape. So we'll see how it all pans out. And based on the Steeler site that I do follow, nobody's a really big fan of this idea, but hey, it is what it is. He'll do what he's going to do, and we'll see how it all works out. So,
that sounds like a pretty political answer from you, JJ. That's not what I was expecting.
Not exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
That turns out. Generally speaking, you're not going to start an average or above average player who's missed training camp. Now, Bell is one of the better running backs in the top five. You can go higher than that if you want to. So, we'll see how it works out for him. I've heard at the early part of this that they were talking about, well, Bell was thinking he deserved more money. Well, he's throwing in the scenario of how many games he's missed due to suspensions and injuries. Yeah, well, maybe not. It's not a complete season, which is another side of this. If you're not getting what some call football shape, you're not going to be getting nagging injuries that you'll be dealing with all season. Mm-hmm. So, something else to think about.
Man, I just feel like I'm witnessing, like, the DNC convention all over again. Like, we're just putting around the thing here. So,
here's the thing.
Right now and give me what I want.
Here's the thing.
I'm presenting the facts from every way I can think of.
Now, basically what he's avoiding to say, Farmer, is that the Pittsburgh Steelers have a modern-day Terrell Owens on their hands.
Yes! Yes!
Nah, he's more of a team player, I believe, than Terrell Owens.
Hey, financial aspect. Hey,
if he was a team player, JJ, he would be at your training camp. He would have been at your OTAs. He would have been at your preseason games. Don't give me the BS that he's a good team player.
He would have been a leader for the younger guys coming in.
Exactly. But instead, he might as well just take a knee outside the stadium.
That is way out of line, the knee thing. But out of that, I agree with you that, you know, you got to call it the way it is. He's not there. We'll see how it pans out. And I really don't see them starting him at all. And they'll probably bring him in later, but we'll see.
I say he's losing his job because Connor is kicking ass.
Yeah.
He is, but...
Wait a minute. Are we talking Connor McGregor or Connor from the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Connor from the
Pittsburgh
Steelers.
The guy that kicked his ass as a junior, and we'll be seeing how he does about kicking the Browns ass week one. I figure after cancer, the Browns will be a piece of cake. What do you think?
Right.
So,
I agree.
Now, real quick, just so we can try and get these in, just real fast. Excuse me. JJ, did you want to make a couple predictions with us on these upcoming preseason games?
Oh, yeah. What you got?
Let's go.
Let's go screw up a few more.
Now we're only gonna go. We're only going by. We're giving gaps here. So let's see. Patriots and Lions. Now Farmer takes the Lions by 14. I took the Pats by 14.
Man, I don't think it'll be what they've done so far in the preseason. I don't see anybody to lighten this one up. Look for a 14-13, both teams score under 20 points. And we'll go ahead and go with the Lions just because I don't like to even think about the Patriots winning a game.
So Lions by three.
Yeah, we'll call it the Lions by three. Both teams scored under 20 or real close to it.
Kansas City and Seattle.
Well, what you got here or what it be – bird brains versus gun grabbers. So let's go with Seattle plus 14.
All right.
I really don't like Kansas City organization. Can you tell?
Arizona and Atlanta.
Well, after Atlanta had a game that they would have won, but they figured the guy that threw that last interception ain't going to be on the roster anyway. Look for Atlanta to be ready to light things up. So we'll say Atlanta wins by two touchdowns.
And the Jets and the Giants.
The battle of the New York teams in New Jersey. Okay. Have you noticed all the really cool things you associate with New York or in New Jersey? And the Statue of Liberty is trying to leave? Yeah, just saying. You know, this is about, the bottom of the barrel. So let's go ahead and go with the Giants just for, let's say the Giants win by touchdown.
All right, I got you in there, buddy. So
yeah, we'll see how it works out.
Right on. All right, JJ, well, we appreciate you calling in today, man, and we look forward to possibly hearing back from you Monday.
Down on it.
All right, later, brother. Be safe. Later. All right, Farmer.
All right.
I was wondering where you were. You got quiet for me for a minute.
I'm still here. I was letting JJ get his limelight.
All right. Well, now Le'Veon Bell might not be a team player, but you know who is?
Who?
Manu Ginobili. The San Antonio Spurs Dude has been in the league for 16 seasons. He is now entering his 16th season. Now, here's the wonderful side of this. It's not about the money for the guy. It's about the game. He signed a two-year, $5 million deal to return to the team. Now, that's not bad, man. I mean, you got people in the NBA or in the NFL wanting, you know, $12, $15, $20 million for a year. And you got Manu Ginobili saying, I'll take $5 million for 2 years. You know what I mean? He's four-time NBA champ. He's going to become the eighth player in NBA history to spend his entire career with one team and play at least 16 seasons. And along that list of people is Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, two of his teammates, Kobe Bryant, Dirk Nowitzki, John Stockton, Reggie Miller, and John Havlicek. The 40-year-old Ginobili is one of the most decorated international players in basketball history. Two-time NBA All-Star, an Olympic gold medalist, EuroLeague MVP. Ginobili has made $14 million in the 2016-2017 season year, during which he averaged 7.5 points and 18.7 minutes. Played 992. Wow. He played 992 regular season games and has made 212 postseason appearances while garnering an All-NBA recognition twice.
That's a crazy accomplishment.
In Game 3 of last season's conference finals, he brought up 21 points to become the first player 39 years or older to score 20 or more points off the bench in a playoff game since the NBA began tracking stats in the 1970-1971 season.
Yeah.
This guy is a beast, man. He's always been a badass on court. I've never been a big San Antonio fan, but you know I like to follow certain individual players as well around the leagues. And Ginobili was always one of them. Well, I loved watching him and Parker. Him and Tony Parker were awesome. But Manu Ginobili is doing he's literally like he's in the history books as one of the greatest.
Right.
I mean, he's got the nastiest Euro step in the league. I mean, he's just sick.
I agree 100%. And just, you know, it is the weekend, B. I just want everybody to know, if you keep a baseball bat or a softball bat in your car, put a ball in there, put a glove in there, because your lawyer will thank you when you're done.
Also something else that I wanted to bring up. I wanted your take on this as well. Someone who's actually been subjected to this kind of treatment has taken to Twitter in a nice little rant, fired a nice little rant, five different tweets he sent out on Thursday. Burning of jerseys. Now, LeBron James, we all know, left Cleveland and everybody got upset, and then they burned his jerseys and everything when he went to Miami. Then they were all happy that he came back to Cleveland. I didn't see any Miami. Mm-hmm. I don't remember Miami burning his jersey, though. So it just goes to show the level of character.
They were happy for him to leave.
But, so he posted these tweets yesterday defending his new teammate, Isaiah Thomas, who was traded to the Cavs on Tuesday as part of a deal that sent Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics. Now, there have been some images going around social media that have been showing the Celtics fans burning Isaiah's jersey in response to the trade. There's also a video of the Utah Jazz doing the same to Gordon Hayward jerseys in July after the free agent announced he'd be signing with the Celtics. And he went on a rant about this, which I can understand because it's complete. I mean, it's complete ridiculousness. I mean, LeBron, like I said, he's no stranger to this type of negativity. I mean, he dealt with it when he left Cleveland the first time in, what, 2010, I believe it was. 2010, 2011, something like that. But in the aftermath of, you know, his departure, which was actually called the decision, I remember that very well. It was called the decision. There was a bunch of images of people, you know, circulated of people that were burning his jerseys and whatnot. But the same has pretty much happened. Now, I do know same did happen, but it was to a lesser extent in Miami. Okay, so yes, it did happen in Miami when he left Miami, but it was nowhere near the level that it happened when he left Cleveland. But he wasn't the only one also to weigh in on this situation, because former NBA star Ray Allen, the guy played in the league for like 20 years or just shy of 20 years, something like that. He took to Twitter as well and said, you know, basically that it needed to, you know, it was ridiculous. The Celtics traded a guy who played in a game. Actually, I have his tweet right here. This is a follow-up from a Caron Butler post. It said, Celtics traded a guy who played in a game for them for a day, or a day after his sister died. But y'all expect player to be loyal to the franchise. Sure. Allen signed with the Rivals. Now, he did fire back in response to that. But this is ridiculous, man. People burning jerseys and whatnot. Did you ever see the picture going around on social media of LeBron or the LeBron James jerseys that all burned up when he went to Cleveland? It shows people airing them. So, real quick, your take on the burning of jerseys.
If it's an Adidas jersey, definitely burn the Adidas hat, burn the hell out of that. You got Adidas shoes, burn the hell out of them too. But anything Adidas needs to be burned. I'm all for, you know, an Adidas jersey being burned. But, you know, you spent your hard-earned money on that. So if you want to burn your money, well, that's on you. So that's my take on burning jerseys.
I think burning the jersey is one thing, but taking it to social media and it becoming something like a public outcry is just ridiculous. I mean, who gives a shit? He left. It's his decision. You know, he went for the better option. He took a chance, went somewhere else. He thought he was like, more money, more fame. Got it. These guys do. It ain't about you. It ain't about the little guys. It's about them and their pockets. What can they do? Because, you know, if I'm turning, I'm working where I'm at, and somebody calls me up and says, hey, I'll offer you a better job making a hell of a lot more money, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave. I'm going to weigh out my options and make sure it's the right move for me. But if it's the right move, I'm gone. So
right.
I can't get
vista,
mad at him.
Baby.
I ain't mad at him. I mean, shit. How many times have we seen somebody from the 49ers leave and go to another team? Was I mad? Yeah, I was a little disappointed. But, hey, there's nothing I can do about it. It was his decision.
Right.
Also, real quick, Joe Rogan thinks that Conor McGregor is going to win the Floyd Mayweather fight. We will find out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And with that being said, this has been the final show for this week of your Morning Cup of Sports with Farmer and B. Evans. Make sure you guys tune in next Monday right here on RadioFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army, and always remember, Farmer,
who is the cream and who is the sugar? Woo!